What's up, guys? Welcome to Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, episode 36. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps this podcast keep on going. With me, as I always say, or he's always usually here, is Derek. What's going on, Derek?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm still a little under the weather, but we're making it here, you know?
Good. Yeah.
So I was sick. Happens. I was sick, and then I got better for a day, and then I'm sick again. So if I sound a little groggy, sorry about that, guys. Trying to get better so we can, so I actually feel better, one, and so I can not be under the weather and get a bunch of reviews and news and everything out. So, yeah, it's been a kind of crappy week for me, but, you know. Got to keep on going. So
yeah, still getting some stuff done.
Yes, we actually got a lot of stuff done this week. So we'll jump right into our reviews this week. Our first review is a really cool mobile product, and a mobile product that I think a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of these mobile holders and things like that, people take for granted until you actually use them.
Yeah.
So Jack took a look at the Luxa 2 cigar clip, which is a little car charger and mounts for mobile devices. And again, it's one thing, it holds your mobile device, which is something a lot of people take for granted. Oh, I'll just put it in the cup holder. I'll just, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're driving and, again, it's one of those things that until you use it, you don't actually
use it and then you need it.
Yeah. So I have one of these from another brand, and as soon as I got it, it's the only thing I use now. It's especially when you're driving, you have your GPS on, you're looking for directions or something like that. You know, and you can view messages and things like that without actually like picking up the phone and like almost crashing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, this device is really cool. It not only holds your phone, but it has a USB connection on it too, so you can actually plug in your phone right there on the device.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have your
a car charger.
Yeah, you don't have to have a car charger and then the mount somewhere else. The mount is actually part of the charger, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's $20 or something. Yeah, like that.
It's just $20.
Yeah, so it's not that expensive. These, again, people think these are useless. I did for the longest time. I'm like, I don't need one of these, and then I got one, and I can't function without it. Because it just makes it so much easier. Again, you can have it displayed so that you don't have to actually pick up the phone. You can see everything. You can see your messages. You can see who's calling. You know, you can see what alerts you're getting, so it's something that you don't need to pick up. You can actually focus on driving.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, who is this? Oh, no. Then, you know, I swerve and, you know. Yeah. So this is just a cool device. Luxa 2 makes a bunch of these. This one, again, is made to go right in the, what do you call that? The cigar port or 12-volt port on most cars, and it works quite well. Jack didn't really have any real issues with it.
Sweet.
So, yes, cool little device.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something like that, this is definitely one to check out. Very inexpensive. Definitely worth it in my experience with these type of devices.
So, yeah.
And then we'll move on from that. I took a look at a really cool keyboard that is still sitting in front of me.
Nice.
It is the TT Esports Poseidon Z RGB. So we've taken a look at a couple different Poseidon keyboards from TT Esports. These are the more kind of simple keyboard, no extra macro keys or anything like that. It's a full keyboard, though. You have a full complement of keys as well as a number pad. And these use TT Esports' own mechanical switches, so no Cherry MX, but it has their own switches, which are actually quite nice. And the big thing with this one is it's RGB backlighting. So each key is individually backlit and it's RGB, so you can pick any color that you want. You can do a lot of really cool things with it, you know, changing colors and different things. And it's just it uses their brown switches, which I really like. They're not as loud as the blues that I was using before. They feel really good feedback. The keyboard, I like the size of it. I hate keyboards that have like a massive wrist rest and all these extra function keys that you don't need. This is kind of a really good size, and this is a really good size for esports. A lot of esports players don't like the larger keyboards either. They like something that's small and compact, and that's what this is. It's $119. It's not overly expensive for a mechanical keyboard that has RGB backlighting. It works right out of the box, no problem. The only real issue I have with this is that the software is kind of slow. I don't like the software.
Is it? Really?
Yeah. Software's kind of slow. It takes a while to save the settings. I don't know. I've seen a lot better implementations of software for keyboards, and this is one of the worst ones that I've seen. But if you set up all your settings once, you can change everything on the fly on the keyboard, so you don't have to go into the settings, you know, to change things if you don't want to. And you can record macros on the fly. You can do a bunch of different things. But just the only gripe with it I have is the software. But it looks great. The RGB backlighting is awesome. It's something that you can have at a LAN party or something. People are like, oh, what is that? You know?
Yeah. It's not too pricey.
$119. It is mechanical. It has a 5-year warranty too. So, I mean,
sweet.
I usually, you know, most people upgrade within a year and a half, something like that, I would say, on their keyboards, maybe a little bit longer. But 5 years, you're definitely going to get your use out of it. So,
yeah. I don't remember when you originally reviewed it. What kind of anti-ghosting or such does the keyboard have? Like, key presses?
It has full Nitro mode, so you can press all the keys at once and it will register, and we actually tested that.
Really?
So it's Nitro over USB.
Cool.
So, yeah, you have to enable it, but once you enable it, it will register every key press that you do, and again, I did test that. That's a big thing with a lot of gamers.
Is that built into the software?
I don't think it's not built on the software. It's just built mode on the keyboard.
Okay, gotcha.
So you have that. So you will know that all your key presses are being registered, because if not, it only registers about 6 normally. When I did my testing, it registered about 6 keys. And then I did the full test, and it registered every key that I pressed.
Nice.
All at once. So again, that's something you can enable when you're playing games if you want, to make sure you register all of your keys.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's a really good keyboard. I just hopefully in the future they would update their software so it's not as slow.
It's so disappointing when it's software that's bad. When you like they make like an awesome like device and then you come to the software and they like half-assed it.
Yeah, you do see that a lot when it comes to these type of devices, because I think the software for a lot of these companies is an afterthought.
Right.
Even big companies, the software is kind of like you just expect a little bit more, you know. And
it's just that's like one of the things that you're gonna like maybe you don't mainly interact with it, right? But it's, you know, it's your on-screen version of the product, so I just feel like you should put a little bit of effort into that to make it feel good at least.
It's something that a lot of companies don't think about right off the bat. There's some companies that have great implementations, and there's some that just don't. There's some that sometimes it barely functions.
Right.
We've seen that in the past as well.
Almost breaks the product.
Yeah. So, but this overall, it's a really great keyboard. I would definitely recommend it if you're looking for a keyboard in this size. You're saving a little bit of money because it doesn't have the Cherry MX switches. And I really do like the TTE Sports switches. Very comfortable. As I said, I'm still using the keyboard right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love I love the color. I love the backlighting. Really strong backlighting. Again, you can turn the backlighting off if you want to.
Yeah.
And they have built-in modes. You can do like the wave. You can do different things with it. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So yeah. And then finally, I took a look at an SSD from ADATA. This is their Premier SP550. And it is their most entry-level SSD. So this is something, if you're looking to upgrade from a mechanical hard drive, something you might want to take a look at. It sells for about the 240 gig sells for about $76, I believe, which makes it about 31 cents a gig.
Dude, that's so nice.
So it uses a TLC NAND, which is less expensive and has less durability and performance than the typical MLC. And the thing is that Samsung used TLC NAND on one of their most popular SSDs to come out this year, which was the 840 Evo. And they were able to figure out a way to make the write performance good, respectable.
Yeah.
ADATA, however, was not able to do that. if you're doing small writes to the drive, you're not going to notice it. but I tested sustain writes on the drive. Yeah. And it you know, the speed of this drive is supposed to be 510 megabytes a second write, and it dropped down to under 100 with sustain writes. Yeah, it's the TLC NAND. I don't know how Samsung was able to do it with their firmware. Yeah. I assume that's, you know, it's sort of like a kind of a trick to get it all to work correctly.
Yeah.
And ADATA just was not able to do this. Now, this is still a great drive. It's still very respectable reads. And if you're doing small writes, you'll never notice this problem. Yeah. But if you're doing sustained writes, like I did a real-world copy test of transferring 30 gigs from another SSD to mm-hmm. this drive, and it started out fast, and then it immediately drops down to that slow speed. So, again, if you're not doing a lot of writes, it's something you'll never notice. But if you are, you will definitely notice it.
Yeah.
So that's the only downfall with this drive. Still a great drive. And one thing that a lot of people don't know about ADATA is they have their own SSD toolbox software. So you can do things. You can do a secure erase, which is something that's really hard to do unless you have either a motherboard that has that feature.
Yeah.
Or you find another piece of software that typically you have to pay for. So this is free software that you can use to do that. You can do a lot of different things with their SSD toolbox software. So you get that included nice. As well. Again, just if you're not doing sustained writes or writes of, you know, big files, you won't have an issue with this.
Yeah.
But if you do, you're going to see it. So that's something you have to really take into account.
So like game installs and updates might be, depending on the game, a bit slow.
Yes. Yes,
for something sure. to consider.
Yeah,
but price wise,
it's a very inexpensive drive.
Dude, I remember paying that much for like 60.
Yeah,
more than that for 60.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good price. It's just it all depends on your usage case. I feel so.
Yeah, if you can deal with the slow writes, you're still going to be fast loads and stuff.
Yes. So let's move on to Case Mod Friday, which is today. Today is Friday, and each Friday we feature a case mod on the site or a case build that's been completed. And the reason we do it is kind of to feature what's going on in the community, show you what's possible, give you inspiration about what's going on and all that kind of stuff. So this week we have a case mod from one of our good friends, or at least my good friend. I'm not sure if you know Mike. Mike from Thermaltake completed a project called Sunkissed TT. Obviously, it's a build that's sponsored mostly by Thermaltake as he works there. But one thing I really liked about this build, it kind of reminded me of sort of the older school builds. He completely painted the inside of the case and the outside, more like automotive type paint, something you don't see as much anymore, I feel. Yep. I don't think I've seen a build like this in a while. I
was thinking that too. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but that's just exactly what it is. Yeah, it's an old school.
Yeah, it's like an older school build, and I really like it. Just because you don't see this much anymore. Everybody is using these cases that they don't paint, but it's, you know, they take a lot more time on everything else, which isn't a horrible thing. But this is just something I feel that we don't see as much anymore, and I really like what he did. One of the other cool things that he did is that on the radiators themselves, he stripped the paint off and he polished them to match the chrome on the inside of the case, which is something cool. Again, something you don't typically see. People
usually think I've ever seen that.
Just paint those. Yeah. He completely stripped them. Great paint job. The reason why it's called Sunkissed TT is the theme is Sunkissed, the drink, the soda or pop. And, I think he matched the colors quite well. It was his first time doing, hard tubing. And I think he did a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, he did a really good job. He doesn't have any flat spots that I saw.
Yeah. So a really good job on the tubing, matched the colors. He painted a lot of the different parts of the case, the orange, obviously orange coolants, orange LEDs on the memory. Really good job. I think I wouldn't say Mike is a professional modder per se, but I think this is a really good job. And I think this is something, again, that shows you what's possible and what you can really do.
Yeah, I agree. But without going too crazy, really.
Yeah, and this is all off-the-shelf parts for the most part, except for the hard tubing.
Yep, which you can learn.
Yeah, which you can learn, which he showed in the build log that's what he was learning to do, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a really good build. I love the color. You don't see that color used really at all. That dark orange. So yeah, it's a really good build. And it's really cool to see people working for companies, you know, getting into the community and doing builds like this. We saw last week with Hex Gear, and we've seen EK builds from people who actually work at EK as well. It's great to see companies have this type of stuff going on in their company, you know what I mean?
Actually participating and not just making and selling products.
Yeah, so I really like that. I think that's something we've seen over the past few years with a bunch of companies. Because these companies are hiring enthusiasts. They're hiring people that actually make use of their products, which I like.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a ton of these. We feature a case mod each week. So there are a ton of these. So go ahead and check them out and get some inspiration, see what's possible, or just be in awe of the skill of some of these modders, because we've featured some really amazing builds.
Absolutely.
So it is the end of the month, and that means we have our monthly article, which is the 20 of the worst PC setups. And this month we have some pretty horrible ones. This is the article where we feature just bad PC setups, whether people are moving and they don't have a desk yet, or they're just a filthy human and they don't know how to clean, or they're in a situation where they just have a really bad PC setup. And the one of these that's quite interesting, I don't know why this person did what they did, or they hung of their PC components from the ceiling.
I actually think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome, but I don't understand the point, and I don't get it. It was never explained when I found the picture why. Yeah. But they have everything hanging from wires, including the monitor, which is really weird.
The weirdest part of it is that it's, like, in the middle of the room.
Yeah, and you walk into this person's house, and you'd be like, so what's the deal here?
Yeah. Like, I could, like, I don't know. I almost think this could be, like, inspiration for, like, a mod. But, like, as it is, it's entirely just in the way. I imagine this got broke or ripped down on accident at some point.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing. But this article is hilarious. It's just crazy to see how people, you know, they love PCs or they love gaming so much they don't really care about their setup. They just need to get that PC up and running.
Yeah.
You know, so some of these are really great to see. Definitely go ahead and check that out. Again, we do it each month, usually towards the end of the month. So definitely take a look at that.
Yeah.
And it is news time. And there was some pretty cool news this week. Some pretty cool things that have kind of been discovered in the GPU and gaming community. The first one is that DirectX 12 mixed multi-GPU actually works. So what this is, part of the DirectX 12 API is something called mixed multi-GPU, which allows you to mix and match different DirectX 12 GPUs from AMD and NVIDIA, as long as they support a constant feature level, which is DirectX 12. So if they're both DirectX 12 cards and you have software that supports DirectX 12, which the only title right now is Ashes of Singularity, which is available currently in early, what do they call that on Steam? Early access on Steam right now. So you can get it and it's not completed, but you have early access, which means you can still play it. That's available right now on Steam. And the guys over at Nantech did a little test with a Radeon R9 Fury X and a GeForce GTX 980 Ti, both installed in the same system. And they enabled DirectX 12 multi-mix GPU. One, it actually worked.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And two, it showed performance boost.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Interestingly, it works better in certain orders, depending on which one you have as the primary card.
Yeah, so it wasn't exactly the same results. So if you had one card as your primary display card, it actually had better results, which that happened to be the Fury X. But it's just kind of interesting to see this work. It's very interesting to see if vendors will block this.
Like within their firmware?
Yeah, within their firmware and stuff, because I know that both AMD and NVIDIA spend quite a lot of money on their proprietary SLI and Crossfire modes.
I think they could actually make an argument for blocking it in that you build a product under a certain set of circumstances to perform a certain way, and this like immediately takes it outside of that, like your controllable specs.
Yeah.
So I could kind of see an argument for it. I also kind of like, is this really useful to people, you think?
Not currently.
Yeah.
I would say not currently. So the big thing is that, you know, the only DirectX cards out are the higher end cards currently.
Yeah.
And there's only one DirectX title out, again, as I said. But as we go along and things come along and somebody, you know, oh, it's time to upgrade the GPU. Well, maybe I want to go AMD this time instead of NVIDIA. Or maybe I want to go, you know, whatever it may be. Oh, but I have that older DirectX card. Why don't I just use both? I think
do you think it will still, like, because we're talking about two of the best cards in the market right now with this test. I wonder if it will still, like they said it doesn't scale nearly as well as using two of the same cards, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wonder if using a much older, lesser card, like what you would actually have left over at, you know, from an upgrade, is going to be even beneficial.
But I'm just saying that I think that's where we'll see a lot of people try it, at least.
Yeah.
In the future. But again, you in the future, it might not even work. It might be blocked. It might, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just cool to see it. It's cool to see it do it. And
big, it's sort of neat,
big shout out to Niantic for actually testing it and seeing if it works. You know,
there's been hacks in the past that you could do to do this.
Yeah.
But you have to really get into the firmware of the cards and the motherboard.
Yeah, so it's cool that this works on a whole software level. You know, I think things like this are really cool in the community, and maybe, like I said, we'll see it catch on in the future with people upgrading, and you know, you actually have a use for the card. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's kind of like the physics card thing that you can do with NVIDIA currently.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. So, you know, we'll see if it catches on. It's just, again, it's very cool. I feel that it works, and you know, hopefully in the future it still does work if AMD or NVIDIA decides not to block it, because they have.
I'd like to see it like written in a way that it actually is, like, you know, easily beneficial. It'll just, maybe you'd get like a 10% bump, but at least it's there, and it, you know, it doesn't slow the system down
any. Exactly. So
be cool.
Also talking about AMD. It looks like they'll be releasing their Catalyst Omega driver. So if you remember last year, right around this time, AMD released a Catalyst Omega driver, which is sort of just like the massive driver update. It's like the driver update that everybody looks forward to. So last year with the driver update, not only did it give game optimization, so it optimized everything for the latest games, but it also added software-based features like 4K virtual super resolution, TressFX 3.0, 5K support, and a bunch of other quality improvements. So we might see some new cool stuff with this new driver update. It should be available in November coming out. So this is something, if you are an AMD user, you should, you know, you possibly could see some new updates, some new cool things that you can use and you can take advantage of. And I guess the big thing with last year's update was the 4K virtual super resolution, which makes your, from what I understand, what makes, it plays a game, or it puts a game at 4K, but then it downsizes to your screen, if that makes sense.
To whatever resolution you
have. Yeah, so that's something that a lot of people have taken advantage of and had a lot of fun with, and there's a lot of other features that hopefully they'll be adding in on this driver update. We know AMD isn't always the best with driver updates.
Hopefully it's not full of glitches.
So these will be signed drivers. It won't be a beta driver from what we know. If you are an AMD user, this is something that's really big and something you should definitely look forward to coming out next month. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we'll move on to two cases. Two cases were announced or shown this week. The first one comes from Thermaltake, and they are doing a Suppressor F1. This is a mini ITX case. So this is much like the Core X1 that we took a look at earlier this year, which is one of my favorite mini ITX cases because it's extremely small, but at the same time you can fit a lot inside.
Yeah, the shape of it makes it really useful.
Yeah, so it's a cube-style case, very, very small. This one's part of the suppressor series, so it should have some sound-dampening properties to it. That's what the suppressor series is all about.
Yeah.
But you do have a lot of room inside. You have room, ITX motherboard, full-length graphics card, which, of course, is extremely important. This is a good case to do that really compact LAN built-in. So you have that. CPU coolers up to 160 millimeters, four hard drives inside, a full-size power supply. So you could build pretty much like an ultimate LAN rig with this.
Yep. I like how the separation it gives you to be in the two levels.
Yeah.
Between your power supply and the top of the case. It's clean and it maintains or it controls your heat pretty good too.
Yeah. I'm not sure on the Core X1, which I reviewed, the panels were interchangeable, so if you wanted to put the top on the side on the top, you could do that. I'm not sure if that's possible with this. Looking at it, I assume that would be the case, just because. So if you wanted the window on the side rather than the top, you could do that. You could do different things. So hopefully that's the case. This should not be that expensive. It's a mini ITX. They do make these pretty, I would say, $60-$70.
Yeah.
So
because their others aren't that expensive either.
Yeah. So
full size version.
It should. From what we heard, it was supposed to launch this week, but we haven't heard anything yet. Might launch later today. I haven't got a press release yet.
Yeah.
So pretty excited for this case. Cool.
Probably get that to review.
Yeah, I'll probably get one of these into review. So definitely stay tuned for that. And Corsair announced a new case, a very entry-level case. This is their 88R. It's a micro ATX case. Basically, for the builder who doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money, this is only going to be $49.99. Wow. But still gives you a lot of room inside. It is a micro ATX, so if you're doing a micro ATX build, this is definitely for you. You have room inside for long graphics cards, full-size ATX power supply, water cooling in the front. Total of 5 fans you can install inside, 4 hard drives, so it's a builder's case. It's something that they put out just, for somebody who doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money, doesn't have a whole lot of money to spend. $50 for a micro ATX case isn't bad. Nope. And it should have all of the Corsair things that you're used to seeing on cases as well. So
yeah, doesn't look bad for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, $50 is not a hell of a lot at all for a case. No. So yeah, definitely check that out if you're looking for something, rather inexpensive. And we'll move down to our friends at Noctua, who we've been working for a very long time. And they celebrated their 10-year anniversary yesterday, actually.
Nice.
And it's crazy to think about. I feel that we're getting older. I'm getting old because I remember when Noctua first came on the market, and they've really built up to be pretty much the go-to when it comes to air cooling for a lot of people. We reviewed their coolers over the years, and I don't think they've really had a bad cooler, at least.
I don't think so.
Especially in the past few years. Maybe in the early days, you had some issues with the installation and things like that, with the larger coolers, but they've really rectified that with their SecureFirm 2 mounting system, which pretty much makes, doesn't matter the size of the cooler, they make it easy to install.
Yeah.
I would say,
they put that on all their coolers, don't they?
Yeah. I would say this is my number one go-to when people ask me about an air cooler. They just perform well, great quality. They are expensive, but it's just like buying a Ferrari over a Chevy. Everything is so well done on these.
You're only going to buy it once, too. Yeah. Remember that.
Performance is great. Most of the coolers have at least a 6-year warranty on them, so that's going to last you several generations of upgrading as well. Yeah. And every time a new socket is released, they always give you a free upgrade kit if it's not supported. So you just contact their customer support and they'll send you one out, which is great, which means you don't have to buy a new cooler if, say, a new socket comes out, or say you move from, C97 to X99 or something like that, or you do something like that, they will send you the upgrade kit for free, which is great. So they've really done a great job. It's just great to see them celebrate 10 years, and hopefully they'll have another 10 years, which I don't see why they wouldn't with the quality and the popularity and everything like that.
They didn't announce like a 10-year anniversary product or anything. I was kind of thinking they might.
Not that I know of.
A salad gold cooler or something.
That would be rather expensive.
It'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't that solid gold. Coated, maybe.
Yeah.
Plated. Plated.
Yeah, I don't think they really need to do anything like that. I think it's just, you know.
It'd be neat, though.
Yeah, they've done a really cool stuff, really cool things in the cooling world and really pushed the envelope when it comes to air coolers.
Yes.
So it's cool to see them celebrate 10 years. So happy birthday to them. And we have a bunch of gaming news. A lot of it circles around Star Wars Battlefront, which we played the beta. And the first news story has to do with the beta, which was the largest beta ever in EA history. Yeah. Which was one thing I really noticed about the beta is the servers really never dropped for me. I really didn't have that problem. Didn't have any lag issues either.
Lag-wise? I don't think so.
With 9 million people who played the game, that's pretty impressive, I think, for EA in the servers.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So there was EA put out a really cool infographic, which if you actually go to the source page on this, I think it's on their blog of infographic that showed a really cool stuff. The one really cool thing is that the beta players logged 1.6 billion minutes of gameplay. which that's enough to watch the original Star Wars trilogy 4.2 million times. And then somebody pointed out that the average life expectancy in the U.S. is 78.74 years, and which is 41,385,744 minutes, which means that a total of 38 lifetimes were spent playing the beta over 6 days, which is crazy.
Nice.
A lot of really cool facts in the infographic on there. Just it's crazy to see people play this beta. I think, one, Star Wars has such a great following.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the gameplay. I know we played it a good amount. I killed you guys a bunch.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't think you want to. but yeah, I'm definitely going to be getting this. This comes out on the 19th, I believe. I believe it comes out on the 19th of November. I would definitely be getting this game. I had so much fun in the beta. I think that when that's all I did for like that weekend. It was 6 days. They extended it another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a great time. Star Wars Universe. I'm a huge fan. I can't wait for the movie. I can't wait for the game. I can't wait to be in that universe and feel like I'm part of the Alliance, the Rebel Alliance, and everything. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
So also talking about Star Wars, they released a new gameplay trailer during Paris Games Week, which was actually this week. A lot of cool gaming news this week coming out from Paris Games Week. And the new trailer is pretty awesome. It features Boba Fett, Leia, and Han Solo. So it shows you the Han Solo character, which wasn't really shown at all. Wasn't playable in the beta either. It just makes me super excited for the game. I don't know about you, but we'll definitely be getting this. Are you going to be getting it?
I'm on the fence. It was pretty fun. We'll see. I don't know if I'll do it right away. I'll probably definitely be getting it, but I don't know if I'll do it right away.
I'm going to get
it.
You got to stop playing Battlefield 3. Are you still playing that?
I'm playing 4.
Playing 4. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it was as much fun as that to me, to be honest. I think that the actual game will be a lot better.
Yeah, I think that
it just didn't. I got bored, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I mean, it was the beta. There was only two playable modes, two playable maps. You know, I think that I'm really excited for the story mode in this. The Star Wars universe is such a fun thing to play in.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited for that.
As long as they build a good story mode, I'll probably get on it for that. Simply, that I wasn't overly impressed with the multiplayer. I guess is what I'm saying. I think that there's from the beta, I felt that there are better games out there, and not just Battlefield 4.
Yeah, I think they're going to be tweaking things, and obviously there's they did say that there's going to be a lot more guns added, a lot more player style added.
Yeah,
you know, obviously there'll be a lot more multiplayer maps.
To see some improvements made as well within it. Spawns where I felt were terrible.
Yeah, especially in that big map. So yeah, I think they'll improve things, as I think they've actually shown, because when they first released the beta, the Imperial Walker map was completely one-sided.
Oh, yeah.
You could never destroy the Imperial Walkers, and as the beta went on, they improved it so you could actually could destroy them, and you could actually win as the Rebel Alliance, which is pretty cool.
Did you ever actually win?
Yes.
I never did.
Well, it's because you're not good at the game.
Well, I mean, there's 32 other players, Bob. I mean, one guy that's terrible, I mean.
Yeah, you're pretty terrible, but
yeah,
it's okay. But yeah, they already made those improvements within the beta, which is cool to see them do. And it's just, I think this is something that with the amount of people that are going to be playing it when it comes out, I think that...
You think it'll get more than the usual EA support?
I think so. I think that...
Okay, I hope so.
I think that we'll be talking about another game here in just a second. I think that with certain games, you know, lacking support and the ability to... You know, the ability with social media and blogs and YouTube and everything where you can basically talk shit on the game and it gets out there and a lot of these
people will actually see it.
A lot of these people on YouTube have such big followings and everything like that that their voice really gets heard, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, people tweeting and everything like that. I think that you have to follow, you have to listen to your community, you have to do those things, you have to take into account what people say. Because those are your users, and we're not to the point where, you know, back in the day, people release a game, that's it, it's there. If it sucks, if they don't like it, whatever, we don't care. You know, because that stuff's not public. But now that everything is public and it's out there, they have to make these changes, they have to listen to their community.
But, there's a few companies that have a real reputation for releasing and ditching.
This is true, and then so, EA is one of them.
Yes.
So we'll see how well it does. I think that they've kind of shown that, you know, it's
trying to improve.
Yeah, trying to improve and everything like that. So I will be getting it. I will be streaming it, and playing it, and it should be a lot of fun. So
cool. I am really interested in just hearing how it goes.
Yeah,
and then I'll get on it.
I'll let you know how good it is.
Okay,
for sure.
And I'm sure you'll let us know how good you are.
I'm pretty good at the game. I was pretty good, I feel. So, for somebody who doesn't play a lot of games, I thought I was pretty good. So, anyways, talking about a game that has had a really bad time, Batman Arkham Knight was re-released this week, and it's still broken.
I thought they did that a while ago.
No, it was re-released.
Were they just talking about re-releasing it a while ago? Okay.
So, it was re-released on Steam the 28th, which was 2 days ago.
Yeah,
and it's still broken. So get this. So hours after it was released on Steam, Warner Brothers issued a statement on its Steam page that Windows 7 users may have hard drive paging issues after playing the game for long periods of time. They said this could be resolved by simply relaunching the game, which is weird. And then they said Windows 10 users would require 12 gigabytes of RAM for a playable experience.
Is that a minimum playable experience?
They just said for a playable experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't play otherwise.
This is their official statement. From their official statement, this says, for Windows 10 users, we found that having at least 12 gigabytes of system RAM on a PC allows the game to operate without paging and provides a smoother gameplay experience. What the fuck?
That's
like, you took the game off Steam and it's been months. And in those months, you haven't fixed whatever this issue is. I that's unbelievable to me.
I believe that they've probably fixed some issues, but, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
They should have just pulled it, rewrote it, came out with it next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that this is just one bad thing after another. You know, when you re-release it, it should be fixed. You know?
Dude, and people paid for it again, and...
Yeah.
I'm sure. And that's just absurd to me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how bad this has been. I think this has to be one of the worst PC releases ever. Not only the fact that you know, it came out, had all those issues, they actually pulled it. And then after...
I've never seen a game pulled. I don't remember one ever getting... Not a title like this.
Yeah, I've never seen a game getting pulled from Steam.
Let alone re-released.
This is not just a little game. This is not like an indie game. This is a AAA title. This is something that people are looking
forward to. It's not underfunded, understaffed.
Yeah, so it doesn't make a lot of sense. But again, This is why we reiterate to all of these developers, this is why you develop the PC version separately. This is why you don't simply port the PC version, because stuff like this happens and it looks so bad for you.
Obviously, they wrote this in such a way that it is just not compatible.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, and this is why you have a PC team as part of your main team. They farmed the PC development out to a secondary developer. That's something you don't do.
Yeah, you almost can't, you can't really blame them. They probably didn't have what they needed to do the job.
And the thing,
if we're being honest.
And the thing is too, is that even if the even if it's going to take longer to develop the PC version, you should do that. That happened with GTA 5. GTA 5 was almost out for what, a year on console before it made its way to PC.
And it PC, always does.
And people on PC users were kind of mad and then whatever. But then when it was released, it was one of the best-selling games for Rockstar ever on PC, and they haven't had issues with the PC version at all, and it's been a great success. So,
it's a hit.
Yeah,
They're still doing stuff for it.
That's how you learn that. I mean, take that into account if you're a developer. You know, if the PC version is going to take longer, so be it. Who cares? You know, because
we're okay with that.
We're okay with that. We want a product that actually works. We'll wait for it. We'll get excited. You know, we'll let the console people have their version or whatever, and we'll get the PC version. And, you know, Rockstar, again, showed that it doesn't matter. Even if we have to wait a year, you know, as long as it's a good version and it's ready and it works, we're okay with that.
Yeah, like, while we don't mind tinkering with things and maybe modding them to make it better, we don't like fixing things that we just bought.
Yeah, and we don't like paying money for a game and having issues with it. All the graphics card issues that were with this game and all the problems. And
it's absurd.
And everything
you're not even buying the game at that point.
Yeah.
You're just paying money for code that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so hopefully they really get this figured out. It's just been a disaster for them.
Seriously.
It makes people lose faith in the company next time they release a game. Ah, well, they had these issues before, so...
Yeah, no, everyone will wait now.
Yeah, everybody's going to wait. So, you know, that's just a problem. And again, that's just why you really take time with the PC version. So
I'd almost rather them not even bother.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, like, if it's not going to work, don't do it.
Yeah.
At this point, would you rather see them try to patch and patch? The patches won't work in the game. When it's broken like this, the patches never work.
I would say, just like what you said earlier, is wait until it's actually really fixed and release it a year later, or release it next year. You know what I mean? Like, take the time to really fix it, to really test it, to do, say, get an alpha group, get a beta group going. You know, people
testing it makes you wonder, did you even run the thing?
Yeah, like, you had to have these issues. I don't know if you didn't have a big enough test group or if it's just a private test group. Like, I don't know how they're testing this in-house.
It can't even be that, like their machines probably would have been borderline not able to run it. The 12 gigs, that's really not necessary. I know a lot of people have it, but it's still not necessary right now.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that, like, that's why you run these big betas. That's why, like, again, that's, like, just what we talked about Star Wars, 9 million people. That's more than enough to get enough data to show you that the game's going to perform, and more, you know, to get the bugs from the users, to get the crash data, to get all that kind of stuff from the game, so you know what the issues are, so you can fix it by the time you're ready to release. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
it's just really disappointing.
Yeah, it blows my mind. But hopefully in time it will be fixed. We don't know. Who knows?
Fix it or take it away.
Yes, I would say. Definitely. So finally, our last gaming story, which I feel we have a lot of gaming stories this week, is that the esports market is said to be worth, to be worth $2 billion by 2018, which is insane.
Yeah, what is the NFL supposed to be worth in 2018?
I mean, more than that. I don't know.
All right, but
it's the whole industry. It's the market. It's the whole industry, which is kind of crazy. So, right now, currently, the esports market size in 2015 is worth $747.5 million, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Most of that data comes from sponsorships.
Advertising, right?
Yeah, advertising and sponsorships, which makes a big part. pretty much every major esports team is sponsored by a multiple different companies, whether they're technology companies or other. There's a lot of other companies that are getting into this and sponsoring esports teams. Mm-hmm. Esports players are getting salaries over $100,000.
Good.
You know, streaming is extremely big. People are making livings off streaming.
I love that you can just do that.
People are making livings off of YouTube videos of gaming. I mean, it's a big thing. Tournament winnings are huge. You know, players are getting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 prizes at these events. It's crazy, and I love it. I love it because this is what we wanted to happen years ago, and it started to happen, and then the market in 2008 kind of died, and it went away.
Yeah,
and it's back, and it's bigger than ever. These events, people are going to events. They're selling out arenas for people to watch this.
To watch people play video games. Yeah, that's
which,
so awesome.
Which I feel is crazy, and I didn't even think it would be that big. It's this big. Betting sites, there's a Unicorn, which is the betting site for esports events now, where you can bet just like FanDuel and what's the other big one? DraftKings and FanDuel, just like that sort of. So yeah, it's crazy. It's so big. It's great to see it. I love it because it gives other people who, you know, if you're a gamer, you're kind of like not like an outcast, but that's not like the cool thing. And you know, it gives you a viable way to make a living, and it gives you a viable career, I feel. And I think a lot of times, because the industry is so big too, a lot of professional players, you know, by the time they're around our age and in the 30s, you know, you get out of playing professionally because it takes a lot out of you. But you can do other things now. Casting. Casters are paid, you know, paid to cast. People who are broadcasting and announcers. There's so much more jobs in the esports industry now, you know.
Yeah, and these guys have great personalities.
Yeah, and you can be an analyst. There's so many things that you can do these days with it that it's awesome. I like it. You know, and like I said, we see with a lot of these esports teams and players are developing products too. It's a great industry, and I'm glad it's growing. I'm glad to see it being so big. You know, and it's amazing.
I think it's deserved.
Yeah. And I hate that people say, oh, they're just playing a video game. But if you would watch, I've watched so many esports documentaries over the past year. The amount of time that these players put in, playing 12, 16 hours a day, training and things like that, it's not something easy. While it may not be physically taxing, which it still is physically taxing, it takes a lot mentally the same way. So
definitely does.
So, yeah.
There's, I mean, nobody scoffs at, like, I mean, I guess like chess isn't this. There's not the money in it, but like things like that, you know, like nobody scoffs at that.
Yeah,
they consider that to be impressive, and this is the same thing. It's using your mind to compete.
Totally. So that is it for news. A lot of gaming news this week. It was Paris Games Week, so that is, I guess, well deserved on that front. But we'll move to what's coming up next week. And we have a really cool product, which I already did the unboxing. If you go to our YouTube page, it is up there. And it is the Alienware Steam Machine. So we're working with Alienware on their brand new Steam Machine. And the thing that makes this is specifically the Steam Machine. They've already had like little gaming consoles come out. Their Alienware Alpha has been out. But that runs on Windows 10 or Windows 8. And it's a little bit different. This is the actual official Steam Machine. It's running on SteamOS, which is a version of Linux. And it also comes with the official Steam Controller, which has just come out too.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. We were selected as one of, I think, 30 or 40 sites and people to check one out.
Nice.
So we're pretty excited to take a look at it. I haven't turned it on yet, so I can't tell you that much. I'm doing it today. Nice. So I'm doing – the thing about this is it's made to be really easy. Plug and play, plug it in, connect to the internet, connect your Steam account, boom, good to go.
Like as simple as plugging in a console.
Yeah, so that is – I've been waiting. Like, I wanted to have a right day to do it so I can shoot a video to show how easy it is to get set up,
right?
And everything like that. But it's extremely small. What's really cool about it, it uses a GeForce graphics card, but it's a custom made graphics card for this system.
Really?
So it's custom cut. It's made smaller for the system. It's actually a 860M that's in here, but it's custom made for the system. It's not something that's like a typical part that's put in a laptop or something like that.
You can't just compare it.
Yeah, so it's that's something that's really cool. There's going to be four or five different versions of this with different memory settings and different GPU.
Yeah.
One cool thing, it's fully upgradable too. So it uses a socketed CPU.
Really?
So you can buy, if you don't like the CPU that's in there, you can buy it off the shelf and get a new CPU. You can also upgrade the memory if you want.
What socket is it?
1150, I believe. Cool. Intel. I don't know. I don't think it's Skylake. But it's an Intel
probably
based
1150. Yeah.
Intel based socketed processor, so you can completely upgrade it. Really cool.
That is really cool. So it's still a PC.
It's still a PC. It is running Steam OS. You can go ahead and install Windows on it if you want. But Steam OS is a big thing.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. I might be behind. Is that released yet?
It's not out yet.
Because I'm really interested in installing that by itself.
Yeah, so it is complete OS that you can, you know, it just runs Steam. Currently, there's 1,500 titles
that are supported
natively on Steam OS. But say there's a big title that you want to play that's not on Steam OS yet. This also can act as a Steam Link. So if you have a PC, the PC can be playing your title, and you can stream it over to the Steam.
Nice.
To the Steam machine, and you can play it as well. A lot of really cool things. This whole Steam OS thing is a big movement. Alienware is really behind it on this. There's a lot of things we'll be talking about in the coming weeks with it. We're actually going to be having a Alienware Steam Machine gaming party November 15th, which we will be streaming live on our Twitch channel. We're doing a giveaway as well. So we have a Steam game code that gives you every Valve release game ever and in the future.
Nice.
So we'll be giving that away live during that, so definitely stay tuned. We'll be doing a lot of different giveaways for this this whole event that we're doing and everything. But yeah, we're having a gaming party. We'll be giving away some stuff. Definitely the Steam code is a big thing. It's like over $200 worth of games. So that's, you know, all of all the Half-Life, Counter-Strike, Source, a bunch of different Source games, Portal 2. And if they ever make a if they ever make a Half-Life 3, it's all future Valve games as well with this code. So you'll instantly get all of those games.
Nice.
So we're giving one of those away for free. I'm not sure how we're going to do the giveaway yet. I haven't really figured that out. but we would definitely be giving that away, and we're going to get some other stuff into giveaway during this whole thing as well.
Best comment on the stream.
We'll think about it. We'll see. I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we will definitely be giving it away. And I'm really excited to test this out, see how the Steam OS works, see how the controller works too, because the controller is supposed to kind of bridge the gap between a typical PC gamer and a console gamer. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that works too. Super excited.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a long time coming.
Yes. Also, I will be taking a look at the Audiofly AF56Ms, which are, they're a little step down from the AF78s that I took a look at 2 weeks ago, I think. So Audiofly makes great in-ear headphones or earbuds, some of the best out there. The AF78s were the best in-ear headphones I have ever used in my life.
Yeah, you said that.
So this is a little bit of a step down from that, but still should be really great. I haven't actually tested them yet. I just did the unboxing. Really excited. Really great colors on these two. They look really cool.
Which color did you get?
They're all white.
Okay.
Which are pretty cool. And this is nice. The M version, which has the integrated microphone. So you can take calls with them as well. So if you have a device that supports that, iPhone, I assume Android as well, will do it. So yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited to take a look at those. And I have another mobile product, which is the Tech Armor Active Power 12,000, which is a little portable battery. But what's cool about this one is it's 12,000
milliamp hours.
Milliamp hours is how you say that. I always forget. But yeah, it's 12,000, and it's small. For 12,000, it's very, very small, which is crazy. This is one of those portable batteries that has dual outputs as well, so you can charge a smartphone as well as a tablet.
Yeah.
This 12,000 is just really big, but it's so small. This thing can fit in your pocket, and it gives you, you know, that amount of power to charge. I really like.
Yeah.
Comes with 2-year warranty. It has kind of rubberized feel, so it's easy to pick up and things like that. It's only 34.
Won't slide around on you.
It's only $34.95.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Considering you can pay more than that for just your phone battery.
Yeah. So. So yeah, it's really cool. I have that to take a look at as well, and we might have some other stuff. Again, as I always say, it all depends on what we have going on and everything like that. But yeah,
cool.
Pretty excited about the stuff coming up. So as we end each podcast, we talk about if we did anything exciting in the past week. Did you do anything cool? Or check out anything cool, or have anything cool you want to tell us about?
I don't think so. No, not really. I watched some movies that have been released for a while, and that was about it. Pretty boring week for me, I have to say. You?
Been playing a lot of Payday 2. It is Crime Fest still. They just released two Halloween maps, which we played last night. Jack and I played last night. And nice. Then they re-released the original heist, which is the First World Bank from the original game.
Yeah.
So we've been playing that as well. It's a lot of fun. You should get in on it.
I definitely need to. I've got Payday 2 installed. I just haven't gotten on it.
I've been streaming a lot to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers if you want to check that out. But that, I guess, will round up the podcast for this week. As always, guys, we will have a full thing of show notes, which everything that we talked about will be linked, so you could go ahead and check it out. And we have all of our previous podcasts in our podcast section on the website. Obviously, type in Think Computers, all one word, on iTunes or Android, and you can find the podcast as well. And I guess till next week, we'll catch everybody later.